Our lesson tonight is out of Acts chapter 13, verses 44 to 52, understanding the contrasting responses to biblical ministries. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles and from Jerusalem to Rome. We can thus learn much about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the book of Acts. When Paul and Barnabas evangelized Antioch and Pisidia, there was a sharp contrast in the responses the people gave to their ministry. That's what Acts chapter 13, verses 44 to 52 reports, and what we need to understand in our ministries. Because anytime you're involved in spiritual ministry, you're involved in a spiritual conflict between Satan on one hand and God on the other, and people are caught in between. And it's valuable for us to note that. I'd like to start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of being able to meet together tonight. We thank you for your word and for the way it addresses the needs that we have and the issues that we face today. We ask for wisdom as we get into your word, first of all, to understand the text, and then to understand the heart of God in it, so that we might obey it in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Acts chapter 13, verses 44 to 52. And the next Sabbath day came almost the entire city together to hear the word of the Lord. That would be at the synagogue. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and slandering. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so has the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set you to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And I need to retranslate this. And as many as marshaled themselves on the side of eternal life believed. And I'll explain that in the message. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But Paul and Barnabas shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. But the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, the first time the Apostle Paul and Barnabas explained the gospel of Christ in the synagogue at Antioch of Pisidia, the response was only positive. As Paul and Barnabas left the synagogue, the people there begged that their message might be given to them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas. They go back to verse 42 and verse 43 of the same chapter. When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought them that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So the first time around, they were really open. And the question is, why did they shift from being very open to being very opposed? Well, the solution is given to us in verses 44 and 45. The next Sabbath, when nearly the entire city came to hear God's word, the Jews who led in the synagogue were filled with jealousy and began to contradict Paul's words and revile him. Jealousy. Now, that tells me something. The first time around that when Paul was ministering the gospel, these people really weren't believing in Christ at all. What they were doing is they were fascinated in this new teaching that they hadn't heard before, and it captivated the audience. And that worked in the favor of the leaders of the synagogue, because now you got something interesting that's going to draw the people back the next Sabbath. So they were interested in externalism. And they had a personal interest that was involved in this. They were not wrapped up in the truth at all of what was being taught. So those who opposed Paul's ministry exposed their unbelief in the gospel. because on the first Sabbath they had at least tolerated this message because it served the interests of the Jewish leaders in sustaining the attendance in the synagogue. But when the crowds thronged the synagogue the next Sabbath, what exposed the superiority of Paul's message to the ministries of the synagogue officials, the unbelieving officials could not tolerate it since their viewpoint was carnal and it was not devoted to the truth. So they reacted defensively. See, they took it personally. They thought that, you know, this was a critique on their ministry or their efforts. They were not wrapped up in the truthfulness of the gospel at all. If they'd been involved in the gospel, they would have said, wow, we can have eternal life by believing in Jesus Christ. You got to preach this for the next four or five synagogues. And if the whole town comes, great. Let's get the whole town on board. But that wasn't their viewpoint at all. So, to defend the truth of the gospel that they gave, Paul and Barnabas boldly spoke out, condemning their opponents as having rejected the word of God, judging themselves to be unworthy of everlasting life, that Paul and Barnabas were then going to turn to the Gentiles in fulfillment of Isaiah 49:6. Interesting, that passage in Isaiah 49:6 is talking about the coming of the Messiah and how he's going to be rejected of Israel in the first five verses. And then the father responds in verse 6 and says, well, it's not enough for you just to minister to your people. I'm going to make you a light to the whole Gentile world. And so God says, I'm going to spread your ministry out. So God did spread his ministry out through means of the church, and the gospel has now gone out to the ends of the world. And of course, during the Great Tribulation, it's going to cover the world even more effectively. Well, the Gentiles present heard this news, and they responded with joy, glorifying the word of the Lord. You notice verse 48a, the first part of verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. I guess so. See, the Gentiles had thought in order to become full-fledged Jews, they had to go through what was, at that particular era, major surgery to be circumcised. To circumcise an adult in the ancient Near World, it was risky, and you can get an infection and whatnot. But here comes the gospel that it's not by circumcision, it's by simple faith in Christ, and that excited the Gentiles. And a lot of Gentiles had wanted to become believers in Israel's God and followers of Israel's God. Here they could do it without circumcision. Wow, that was an open door for them, and they were thrilled. And then it says, the English translation then translates verse 48b from the Greek to mean as many as were ordained by God unto eternal life believed. Now, all the major translations do this. They say as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. What you've got in this particular situation, the word ordained, comes from the Greek perfect participle tetagmenoi. And tetagmenoi can be translated in the perfect tense. It can be translated either in the middle or the passive voice. So you can translate it either you were ordained or you were marshaling yourselves or ordaining yourselves. And you have to depend on the context. But the middle voice, and not the passive voice, and it means as many as had marshaled themselves on the side of eternal life believed. Now, believe it or not, R.B. Rackham, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles in 1901, when I was graduated from seminary, they were still recommending him as the number one commentary. He takes it in the middle voice. That excited me when I was at seminary, because I'd never seen that other translation. And I found out that since then, that there were a number of writers around the turn of the century, the 20th century, who felt that this should be taken in the middle voice. But that's been squashed because of the tremendous emphasis of Calvinism. So where the unbelievers had judged themselves to be unworthy of eternal life, these Gentiles, I believe, had marshaled themselves on the side of eternal life and believed in Christ to be saved. See, there's a contrast here between, on the one hand, the Jews counting themselves as not worthy of eternal life, and the Gentiles saying, we want eternal life. And so that's why I believe you should take it in the middle voice. So the word of the Lord spread throughout the entire region, according to verse 49. But in stark contrast, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city to persecute Paul and Barnabas by expelling them from their district. So you got this contrasting response. You have the word of the Lord on one hand spreading throughout the entire region, some Jews accepting Christ, but many Gentiles coming to Christ. On the other hand, you have the leaders of the synagogue getting the chief people in the city to expel the Apostle Paul and Barnabas from their district. Now, notice the reaction of Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas shook off the dust of their feet against their foes, and that signified a complete break of fellowship and renunciation of the responsibility for the community that was gestured at. Now, where did this practice come from? The Jews had a practice that when they left the land of Holy Land and they went into Gentile territory, when they came back, they didn't want to pollute the land of Israel, so they would shake the dust of the Gentile territory off of their feet as they crossed the border. It was a practice. Jesus picked up on this practice, and he said, okay, and when he sent his disciples out to the lost sheep of Israel, he said, go into these towns and whatnot. If they don't accept the gospel that you have, you shake the dust of your feet off against them, and that will be a sign to them that they're in trouble. In other words, they're just like the Gentiles. They've rejected the Lord, and therefore they're going to be held highly accountable to God. So that's where this practice of dust, shaking the dust off. Now, you'll still have some people and some cults will do that if you reject what they have to do. If you watch them and they leave, when they leave your property, they'll shake the dust off of their feet, and they're still practicing that. But it's just a Jewish practice. And it had to do with people rejecting the truth that Jews were teaching in those days. In this case, it would be the apostles. So they shook off the dust. Then the apostles went to Iconium, which is a nearby town, and verse 51b. But notice again the reaction of those who are believers. In sharp contrast to the hatred expressed by the unbelievers, the believers at Antioch of Pisidia and the surrounding district were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Notice the contrast. You have people on the one who are hating Paul and Barnabas, kicking them out of their territory. Other people are just rejoicing. They know the Lord is their Savior. They have eternal life. Tremendous contrast. All because of a tremendous angelic conflict that was occurring. So the big contrast between the unbelievers who rejected the gospel and those who accepted it was due to big contrast in outlook. The unbelievers did not focus on God's truth, but on their external world of running their synagogue, where those who believed focus on the truth of the gospel and the value of eternal life by faith in the Lord Jesus. The big contrast in outlook produced a big contrast in behavior, with the unbelievers repudiating the messengers and their words, where the believers loved the apostles and their words, with the unbelievers expelling the apostles, and the apostles in turn completely breaking fellowship with the apostates. These would be people who are rejecting Christ. So in application, may we not be offended over the contrasting outlooks and responses to the ministry of God's word, for a great spiritual war wages around the ministries of God's word. It's a war that involves believers and unbelievers, involves Satan and God, demons and angels, truth and error. Matthew 13, 18 to 50, the parables there talk about the parables of the king, talk about all this that goes on. And then may we then, like the apostles, draw clear lines of fellowship, associating with the godly, but breaking fellowship with apostates who repudiate Christ and his gospel. And then may we, like Paul and Barnabas, continue to minister for the Lord. They didn't give up just because there was a reaction of the leaders. They went to the next town, Iconium. And then after that, they went to the next town. Eventually, Paul gets stoned and left for dead. So the Lord causes him to rise up, and he returns, and he goes back, and he visits all the believers that they'd led to Christ, all the way going back to Antioch of Syria, where they'd come from. So there wasn't a giving up at all. They kept going for the Lord and kept ministering for the Lord. This morning, just after the morning worship service, I was in the fellowship hall, and a man who had been visiting with us this morning came up and talked to me. He was from South Africa. His wife had been here a couple of weeks ago, and she went home and she told her husband, "You've got to go back to that church. They're from a Methodist background." And we were talking about political issues and concerns that are a concern to him. He was here. He loved very much the approach that we had, and he said, "I'd like to come back." He said, "I did not know that the Bible, you could actually find from the Bible that addresses issues that we're facing in our country." I said, "Oh, yeah, it's right there." You know, the Bible is applicable. Well, he said we didn't get that. In fact, the last church he was in, he just left because there was nothing that was given that was relevant. But he was wide open. Here he is from South Africa, and they've moved to this country. They went into Long Island, then they decided they love the country up here, so they moved up, and they've just built a house. And they just moved in. They've been living out of a RV, and he says it's like going to heaven now. We're actually living in a nice house. But this is all new, this idea of Bible exposition. Here's a man I'd never met before, and in fact, I didn't meet him before the service, but he's responsive to this. I don't know if he knows the Lord or not, but he might. You know, he went to maybe a mainline Methodist church. But here he is, interested. And he's open. And it just reminded me of the fact we're always going to get responses to the gospel. Some people will respond negatively, that's true. But some people will be wide open. And they may be people from another part of the world, like this man. But they're open. And so God wants us to be always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have a lady here tonight who's telling me before the service about a Bible study that she's going to have on the fruits of the Spirit in her home. And we're going to each week we're going to cover one of the fruits. And I think that's great. They believe all of them are believers, but just in case, going to give the gospel. And I said, that's great, because you never want to take for granted that everybody's automatically saved. Some people may not know the Lord, even though they may think they have. So that's exciting. And it's going to be interesting to see how the Lord responds to that ministry. But we should never be upset because there's a contrast to our ministries. It doesn't mean that we're necessarily doing something wrong because there's not a positive response. We have to be mindful of the fact that there's a war, and we're involved in the war. It's an arena where we minister, and some people will respond well, some people won't. But God wants us to keep faithful to him, because we never know. There may be someone out there who really needs and who really wants to hear the truth, and we've got to keep going for that person. And the Lord bless us as we continue to minister for him, and understand that there are going to be contrasting responses.